BBC Films. BBC Films and BBC Worldwide present a Red Box Films production. Louis Theroux writes online, "I am involved in the making of documentaries." Open call to any hashtag Scientologists out there. I would love to speak to you for a documentary I am working on. About Scientology. Steve Parks responds, "It's great you're doing that. Hope you have good lawyers and minders, though." More messages. "Prepare for the loonies to target you. Don't mess with Scientology, Mr. Theroux. Are you sure there are no skeletons in your closet? They're probably filming you already. Don't go there, big man." The Golden Age of Knowledge for Eternity, The Basics, Church of Scientology International. A packed auditorium gives a standing ovation to a smiling man as, wearing black tie, he strides onto a stage.
You get a sense of the scale and ambition of the Church of Scientology from the footage of their galas. They look more like a Hollywood awards show than anything recognizably spiritual.
A photo of L. Ron Hubbard.
A religion created by a sci-fi writer and now run by a mysterious and unapproachable leader whose disciples include top Hollywood actors.
Tom Cruise salutes the man.
"For years, my dream was that I might be the first journalist to see another, more positive side of the church. Their commercials promise enlightenment, using techniques that combine spirituality and science, with the ultimate aim of a planet free from insanity, crime, and war. The videos boast of the church's global reach, and followers they say are in the millions."
A promotional video cites followers in 172 nations.
"Watching their promotional films, I dreamed of experiencing their practices firsthand. I made repeated requests to be allowed inside, but my approaches were all turned down."
The audience in the auditorium.
"Gradually I realized they were never going to let me in. But inspired by their religious filmmaking, I began thinking of another way inside that was still true to the spirit of Scientology."
My Scientology movie. Captured in slow motion, an airliner is silhouetted by the sun as it flies overhead. The plane is low over a city, descending for a landing. The Hollywood sign, a building marked Church of Scientology, and the arched stone entrance to Paramount Pictures Studio. Louis driving in traffic and is soon approaching a car park by LAX Airport.
"I've been in touch with one of the most prominent ex-members of Scientology. His name is Marty Rathbun, and my hope is that he can help me realize this idea I have. For many years, he was one of the most senior figures in the whole church. Their photos show him in uniform next to David Miscavige, the church leader. And then in 2004, he left and started giving interviews about the church and his role within it.
I was basically Mr. Fix-It for Scientology for a number of, well, a couple of decades, frankly. I mean, I was, wherever there was a fire, I was out there to put it out.
Do you need a push?
Maybe.
The church now regards him as deeply untrustworthy.
Oh, this Louis is a yoga master.
But for more than 20 years, he was the consummate insider.
It feels pretty secure.
And he still believes in aspects of Scientology.
You want to just get some B-roll?
Yeah.
Have you driven in L.A. before, Louis?
I've been living in L.A. for the last year.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Where do you live?
North Hobart, very close to the Celebrity Center.
I'll be darned.
And we've flown him in from Texas, where he now lives, and brought him back to Scientology's birthplace and his old home, Los Angeles.
In an apartment.
Got my written response from the church.
So oh, really?
I wanted to mention that.
Okay.
And what they mention is that Mr. Theroux had been in direct communication with and had interviewed bitter anti-Scientologist Marty Rathbun. Is that what poisoned them against our production? Is that what closed the door to us, do you think? Or would they never have taken part?
A woman in a bikini comes to the door.
You can't film me.
We're not filming you.
You are. You have a camera.
Turn the camera off.
So what are you doing a documentary about?
It's about the Church of Scientology.
Oh.
You probably should interview her.
Well, maybe we will, but we should probably finish what we were
doing. Yeah, can we finish what we're doing?
I'm an actress and a...
Well, we are in L.A.
I've done over 45 films in French and Spanish and a lot of things. Okay, well, my name is Paz. Paz.
How do you spell that?
Yes.
That's great. Thank you so much.
The woman leaves, and Louis closes the door, wearing a perplexed smile.
They sent her over.
The church.
Don't you think?
No, they're not that sophisticated.
Honey trap.
They're not that sophisticated.
You would have done that in your day.
No, I wouldn't have done that.
A photo of a man in his 60s.
The founder of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, was a writer of pulp fiction, and in 1950 he published a self-help book called Dianetics. It became the basis for an entire religion, teaching that we are all immortal spirits called Thetans, who live multiple lifetimes. Using Scientology processes, we can become enlightened, remember past lives, and carry all our present-day memories into future lifetimes. Over the years, Hubbard won thousands of converts.
Hello. My name is David Miscavige, and I'm very happy that you could all make it to this important briefing this evening.
And then, in 1986, there was a gathering of Scientologists at the Hollywood Palladium, and it was announced that Hubbard had died.
The body he had used to facilitate his existence in this messed universe had ceased to be useful, and in fact, had become an impediment to the work he now must do outside of its confines.
The announcement was made in this famous footage by a young man in his 20s called David Miscavige. And he has run Scientology ever since, and done so, according to his critics, in an increasingly unpredictable and volatile fashion.
Joining us live tonight is David Miscavige, whose formal title is Chairman of the Board of the Religious Technology Center, the organization which manages Dianetics and Scientology. Mr. Miscavige took over as the head of Scientology in 1987, following the death of the church's founder, L. Ron Hubbard.
In 1992, he spoke to Ted Koppel, the host of Nightline. It was an unusually revealing encounter, and to date, his only TV interview.
David Miscavige casting. Three actors going over their lines, waiting to audition.
So we've got actors coming in to be David Miscavige. And for me, the idea really is to kind of recreate. You know, we can't get the real Miscavige, but we can create our own Miscavige using lines from that rare Ted Koppel interview to help Marty to cast him. I'm going to lean heavily on Marty.
I'm conscious it's his version, and it's seen in hindsight after an acrimonious split from the church.
Okay.
Hi, Chris.
How are you doing?
Hi, my name's Chris Garrett.
Shall I? I mean, should I sit in? What do you think? Should I do a couple voice?
No.
No, it's just cheesy.
It's up to you, Lou. Whatever you.
Yeah, I just do. I'd like to begin, Mr. Miscavige, with, I guess, the kind of broad question perhaps folks at home may be asking themselves right now.
Perhaps folks at home may be asking themselves right now, but let me be the guinea pig for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Because you care about yourself and life itself.
Because you care about your life. Wait, hold on.
Yourself and life
itself.
Scientology, the word means study of life, study of knowledge. And that's what it is. It takes up all areas of life itself.
Things that are integral and maxims. They're related to life and very existence.
Let me give you an example. It's better if I take that because it's such a broad-ranging subject.
Or better if I take that because it covers such a broad range of subjects. You know?
That's the area of communication. Being able to communicate in the world around you and everyone here.
Good, good, good. I want it to feel as real as possible, but I want to get Marty back into the headspace of where he was when he was inside the church.
And we're using this rare bit of footage because he was there in the studio at Miscavige's side when it was recorded.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's not Miscavige.
I'm serious. You know, all these guys that you'd like, they're no good.
Well, no, but he actually...
This is not a minor game we're playing here. Every man, woman, and child, their immortal future depends on us succeeding. This is the attitude. This is what you're missing. You've got to have that intensity, okay? Because this is not some minor game.
I thought he had that.
This is dying, not just dying this lifetime. It's dying and dying and dying and dying and being a smoldering ember that floats through space, hurtling through space.
Literally that?
If it's literally that if we don't succeed.
Is that something he would say?
Absolutely. It's right in the policy letters in Keeping Scientology Workable. We'd rather have you dead than incapable. That's the training attitude.
That was your mindset?
Yeah.
For 27 years?
Well, for 22 years. The first 5 years, I was pretty laid back.
Louis just stares at Marty.
Scary, huh? Makes you wonder what I'm capable of, right?
Little bit,
yeah.
Ted Koppel.
I'll tell you what, let's stick with me, okay? So far in life, I haven't had a whole lot of trouble communicating. Now see if you can communicate to me what it is that you're gonna be able to do for me that makes me a better communicator.
Well, number one, I would never try to talk you into that Scientology is for you. You see, that's the funny thing about this, is if I'm now gonna give a sales pitch to you on Scientology.
You see, so let's look at it this way. You see that edge? He's got that down. He's pissed. But he's not overtly showing it. But he's combating.
But you want to see something else, throw any direction at me and I'll just give you another.
Get up and get in my face and put your finger in my chest and let me know that my problem is that I buy my own bullshit.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Who are you to come in here and tell me that what I stand for and what I have learned is the right way? Look, you people are programmed and sold.
Listen to me, you slimy little cocksucker. You fuck up one more time, I will rip your fucking face off. You got that?
Get with me, motherfucker!
Get personal. Dress the guy down.
I don't want you just to
call
agree with
me. Call him a four-eyed son of a bitch,
you're
cocksucker.
You're a four-eyed son of a bitch, you cocksucker. I mean, you had no idea what you were doing from the beginning, and I knew that.
Louder.
You had no idea what you were doing from the beginning, and I knew that.
Shove him against the wall.
You son of a bitch, you listen to me.
This is really good.
Okay, you're gonna fucking do what I tell you next time, and you're gonna actually listen to me.
Louis, this is really good.
From the start.
Okay, cut. Okay.
You're a cock-sucking loser! You're a piece of shit! I'm telling you what you're worth! I'm telling you what you've been doing with your life! Don't look away!
He's got it. He's got it. This is David Miscavige right here.
Where were you getting that from?
I tap into anger very easily, and righteousness.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's righteous anger. That was like being there. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Okay.
Appreciate
cheers.
I'm aware that we're going to the violence quite quickly and to the sort of the negative characterization. But I don't know if we're going to get the sense of why for 22 years you were working hand in glove in a devoted fashion with that guy.
Well, as you said, it was kind of, you thought it was kind of nice having your face ripped off up against the wall.
Yeah, but that was play acting.
I know. So what's the difference?
A man dressed as an astronaut walks between the buildings of a film studio. Now, Andrew, the actor chosen to play David Miscavige, dresses in the smart uniform of a naval officer and has makeup applied to his face. The Church of Scientology has repeatedly denied accusations of abuse and violence by David Miscavige. 1999, in one of Scientology's many legal battles against ex-members, David Miscavige made a personal declaration to the court. Louis to Andrew.
Good. He's indignant, but he's also trying to make his case to an impartial person, okay. Like a judge, right?
Yeah.
Okay, should we go? Go.
I am, and since 1987 have been, the chairman of the board of Religious Technology Center, a Section 501c3 tax-exempt, non-profit religious corporation, whose sole purpose is to maintain the orthodoxy of the Scientology religion.
I mean, I would take it down a notch.
Okay.
Because I think that went a little too conversational.
Yeah.
Most Scientologists would never meet David Miscavige. They have normal jobs. They might volunteer in the church's bookshops, which they call orgs. They don't wear uniforms. And in LA, many of them are actors.
I grew up in Boston. Small town boy and with big town dreams, so I decided, you know, just to like take the leap to Hollywood and become an actor. I didn't really have like a plan in mind per se. I just kind of came here and just hoped that I would, you know, find my way in the business. So I picked up a copy of Backstage Newspaper, which is the trade newspaper that actors subscribe to that lists all the different auditions in town and all the different classes. And there's a huge ad, How to Break into the Industry, teaching you all the ins and outs of how to make it in Hollywood. So I took the bus up to the Celebrity Center and I walk in and we went into their theater room to watch their orientation film.
Right this instant, you are at the threshold of your next trillion years. You will live it. Shivering, agonized darkness, or you will live it triumphantly in the light. The choice is yours.
That's the one where he says, if at the end of this you're not convinced that this is for you, you're free to walk away.
It would be stupid, but you can do it. You can also dive off a bridge or blow your brains out.
Blow your brains out, yeah.
That is your choice.
When you're a new actor and you come to somewhere like the Celebrity Center and they're telling you, we can help make you someone like the new Tom Cruise, you know, you're like, oh, wow, that's what I want. You know, they just tell you, you know, it's a course away. Your happiness is a course away.
Former Scientologist Steve Mango.
If I see someone on the street, at the bus stop, you'd go up to them and just try to be their friend.
Give them one of these?
Give them one of these booklets and say, hey, check out my church. And if I get you to sign up for services, it helps me because I get a 10% commission on whatever you buy.
They say it brainwashes people.
It is, it's mind numbing.
No. They say it brainwashes people.
Do I look like I'm brainwashed to you? I'm your neighbor, I'm your best friend. Scientology is an applied religious philosophy. It's not a religion you just sit down and pray at an altar about. This is something that you actually apply every single day in your life. Tools to improve yourself.
Pass him here.
Oh my God, I really have it. There's apparently 1 million spoken and transcribed L. Ron Hubbard words in all these books.
You paid for all of them.
I paid for all of them.
How much did you pay for all your materials?
For all the book course materials?
Everything, just for the whole of services, books, everything.
Everything, 50 grand.
About $50,000.
$50,000.
Auditing session. Louis and Marty sit down together in a white, featureless studio space. There's an electronic device on a table between them, and Marty hands Louis two wired metallic tubes to hold.
It's a simple ohm meter. And there's a very slight amount of electricity actually passing through your body, although it's imperceptible. When I address thought that has some trauma connected with it or some anxiety connected with it, I get a particular type of read. It's a device that measures thought. All right,
Is there a particular area of your life that fixates your attention or you feel as a that there?
Did you get one?
Yeah.
Can I answer?
Please.
I'm thinking about a time when I was about 11 or 12.
The most basic practice in Scientology is auditing. It's a form of counseling using a primitive lie detector called an E-meter.
Okay. Is there an earlier similar problem?
Basically, you talk about memories and traumas called engrams until they no longer register on the machine.
Interesting. Your needle's floating.
Which is good, right? That means I've cleared something.
I don't know. Do you feel like you kind of realize something?
I feel
something?
Like I made a connection.
Yeah. That's basically what a session is.
So how does this relate to Scientology and this idea of being clear?
Okay, you desensitize a lot of these things, like this little thing that gave you a little bit of angst. I mean, there's tons of things that any given individual has like that.
Got it.
That's clear, basically.
Though it's a religion, Scientologists don't worship a god. Instead, what they offer is a highly detailed step-by-step program of classes and courses, each with a price tag, and all of it laid out in an extremely complex-looking diagram. They call the teachings religious technology, or tech. As you advance up the bridge, you deal with engrams from past lifetimes. At the very top are the OT levels. OT stands for Operating Thetan, and the possibility of extrasensory abilities. The most dedicated believers can join Scientology's clergy, the Sea Org. You can see them in church photos, styled like a navy. Their glossy recruitment posters depict them as being like warrior monks. They sign billion-year contracts, committing all their future lifetimes to saving Earth from ruin. And while there may be as many as 25,000 Scientologists in the US, only a fraction are signed up as members of the Sea Org. And it's within the Sea Org that the most controversial practices are alleged to have taken place.
Louis behind the wheel of his car, driving through a residential district. There's another man sitting in the passenger seat.
We're going down to a little town called Hemet. And close by Hemet is the headquarters of Scientology, a legendary location. And we're going there with Mark Headley, who worked and lived there for 15 years, from 1990 to 2005, when he blew, which means he left in an unauthorized fashion.
He later sued the church for keeping him against his will, but he lost the case. And like Marty, he's viewed by the church as embittered and a liar.
You know, we've been filming with Marty Rathbun.
Yes, I was aware of that.
And you know him, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Basically, it's where David Miscavige mainly works. It's where he runs Scientology from. And it's where, allegedly, in the years running up to 2005, there was a reign of terror.
There was actually a time in the mid-1990s when I was being accused of myself being violent with somebody of one of my own crew, and I was being interrogated on an E-meter about this incident, and Marty was actually standing behind the girl that was doing the interrogation in the little auditing room with us, and it just kept going on and on, and she'd say, "Did you do this?" I said, "No, I didn't do that." "Did you do this?" "No, I didn't do that." And then Marty actually just said, "Listen, let's take a break for a second." And he cold-cocked me, just boom. And he's a big guy, he's much bigger than I am.
He punched you.
He punched me square in the jaw, out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting it, it was just boom. And then he goes, "Good, now go back in there and tell her what she wants to hear."
They drive along a straight stretch of country road. The landscape is mostly dry scrubland, with some trees up ahead.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it, we're there. This building up on the right here, that is the cinematography studio. It's called the Cine Castle.
So they make a promotional video for Scientology in there?
Films and videos.
It looks like you could walk quite close.
We did. They know. I mean, they know we're here right now. There's cameras right there. We have their attention. No doubt, 100%.
So I'm going to take my lead from you, Mike. You think this is a good place to stop, or maybe not? Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Was it stress, or you just...
No, I'm fine.
You're good.
I'm good.
You're not getting flashbacks.
No, I'm not getting flashbacks.
It's called Int Base because it's the international headquarters of Scientology, but it's also called Gold Base because it's the headquarters of Gold Studios. And Gold Studios was a production facility that L. Ron Hubbard himself created. Churning out epic Hollywood-style promotional videos.
When the history of this planet is finally told, it will be a tale of exalted triumph that forever changed the destiny of Earth. We are the IAS!
And Mark was well acquainted with a lot of these very dramatic films and how they were made, because he was working on them as a producer.
Well, you show the best spot.
Yeah.
They drive on past a main gate and turn onto a side road.
Is it this one?
Yeah.
Whose land is this then?
This is public. This is public land. So you can see this is the razor wire that's always talked about. See, they don't have it on the main highway road, but as soon as you get off the highway, then there's razor wire around the entirety of the property, just like that. And you can see the high power floodlights. You can see the motion sensors, those little black things near every fence post. Those are called fence shakers. So if somebody climbs over the fence from the inside, that sets off an alarm in that main security booth, and all those floodlights all around the entire property turn on so they can easily locate someone who's trying to escape.
Let's hop out.
The razor wire that tops the mesh fence and the floodlights that rise above it.
You lived here for 15 years.
15 years.
I mean, do you feel now, looking back, that you were kept against your will?
I think that I was a prisoner in my own... I was keeping myself here based on what they told me. I knew that there would be consequences of me leaving that would make it so it would be very hard for me to live outside of this world. Those consequences became so minuscule compared to the terror that I was living through here that it got to the point where I would rather be dead than to live here.
They recite events that never took place. I am left in a position of my word against their word, which is precisely the effect I feel they have tried to create. Their efforts are orchestrated pursuant to a well-used litigation strategy that has been employed against L. Ron Hubbard, various churches of Scientology, and me for years. Namely, the gathering of apostates in search of money, who are then used as a traveling roadshow to present packaged yet false testimony concerning Scientologists, churches of Scientology, and me.
That was very good. Did you not think that was very good?
Hubbard understood early on that he could spread his religious ideas using actors. He wrote screenplays and liked being photographed on set directing. And as early as 1955, he launched something called Project Celebrity, a list of high-profile people he hoped to recruit. James Stewart, Greta Garbo, Danny Kaye. And the practices of Scientology are like acting class techniques. You're learning a new role in life.
Tom Cruise casting. Actors waiting to audition.
It's an exciting day today because we are here to cast Tom Cruise. He's obviously the most famous Scientologist in the world. In fact, probably a lot of people, all they know about Scientology is that Tom Cruise is a member. And Tom Cruise is best friends with David Miscavige. It was widely reported that David Miscavige was best man at Tom Cruise's wedding to Katie Holmes. The other thing is that Mark was involved in making the promotional videos, and one of the most famous and controversial promotional videos in Scientology was one involving Tom Cruise on Tom Cruise.
I think it's a privilege to call yourself a Scientologist, and it's something that you have to earn. And because a Scientologist does.
And so we're going to use quotes from that footage to help us cast our actor and to understand what motivates Tom Cruise.
Got it.
I think it's a privilege to call yourself a Scientologist because it's something that you have to earn.
It's a privilege to call yourself a Scientologist.
It's something that you have to earn
because a Scientologist does.
This is not a bad place to do a quick bit of background. What level is Tom Cruise at in Scientology?
OT7.
And is that high?
Yeah, the only one higher is OT8. When he gets to that next one, there's nothing you can do that's higher.
And each one costs money, right?
Yeah. To get all the way to the top can cost anywhere from $500,000 to $2 million.
So for me, it really is KSW.
For me, it really is KSW.
And elements worse with that, you know?
For me, you know, that policy is just good.
Really, it's just gone.
Do you want to tell him what KSW is?
Sure. KSW is keeping Scientology working. And keeping Scientology working is basically like obliterating anything that doesn't have to do with Scientology and keeping it working. Anytime somebody does something in Scientology that's not 100% Scientology, you crush that person so that they do not ever do that again.
So for me, it really is KSW. And it's just like, it's something that... I don't mince words with that. But that policy to me has really gone, boy. And there's a time I went through and I said, you know what?
When I read it,
can you pause it? We just paused that at random, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you saw him across the breakfast table looking at you like that, like that's not, you know, pass the mustard. That
in that KSW policy, L. Ron Hubbard says, we want you to have a dedicated glare in your eyes.
But you know, I feel like there's a bigger question outside. Or like, I don't understand, why does he think this is so important?
Because Scientology is the only way that the world is ever going to survive.
He thinks that without Scientology, what would happen?
Charred ruins. When the day's over, the only thing that's workable is Scientology.
Workable as what?
As a technology, as an organizational technology, as a spiritual technology. It's a universal solvent that will handle all of the world's problems and the universe's problems.
They said, so, like, have you met an SP?
Maybe one day it'll actually be like that. Maybe one day it'll be, wow, like SPs. Like, they'll just read about those in the history books, you know?
Do you want to tell Caleb what an SP is?
If you badmouth Scientology or speak out against Scientology, you're labeled a suppressive person. And there's actually a policy within Scientology that says how you handle a suppressive person or how you deal with a suppressive person is to ruin him utterly.
It's PTSSP, how to shatter suppression, confront shatter suppression. You apply it, it's like, boom.
Because they don't come up?
No, because they don't come up to me. And say that.
Not to my face, you know, or anywhere in my vicinity.
Where they can be...
confronted. It's not doing it.
Why not?
Because they're afraid.
Afraid of?
Of what they might find out about themselves.
Yeah, see, that's not in there.
We were just improvising.
No, I know, but what he said is exactly true.
Why did you say that?
It's a fear of whatever, but usually themselves.
Wait, are you in character now, or is this you?
A little bit of both.
I was gonna say, he's getting really scary on me right now.
I mean, if the intent behind it is to help people, then, I mean, there should be no harm in that.
Very good.
Great.
That was nice. Thank you for that.
Not a problem. Guess have yourself a wonderful afternoon.
You too.
You too.
Very good.
Driving through the city, passing various pedestrians, Louis glances in his rearview mirror and sees a white 4x4 appears to be following him. Shooting B-roll of LA, a white car seems to be tailing us.
What is the license plate again?
9353.
After 4 hours of the same car being behind you.
starts to look a bit suspicious. And it's a white pickup truck, a Tacoma. He's right behind us now. Okay. His windshield's quite dark, isn't it? Nothing suspicious about that. Well, there's no question, is there? He's a private investigator. What you got to remember is, this is a church. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's just not like any church that you can really think of.
He drives on, and soon the white car is nowhere to be seen.
I can't see him. Well, I think we've lost him.
Large houses in a leafy suburb. Now, in a film studio, Louis stands holding a letter.
So this is a letter that was forwarded to me from one of our producers, and it's from the lawyers, Carter Ruck, retained by the Church of Scientology. So evidently, they've got wind of what we're doing, and they say, our client is aware that Mr. Theroux has auditioned for actors to play young David Miscavige. They don't know that we've also auditioned actors to play Tom Cruise. But in relation to the auditions, our client's information is that Mr. Theroux filmed these with Marty Rathbun in attendance and advising. This is most concerning. And so how do they know that Marty was at the casting? Was one of the actors, conceivably, did he put the word out, tell people in his circle? And did that get back to the church? Or was one of the actors a Scientologist? Or was there someone on the inside who was somehow a mole?
Or we were followed.
Palm trees silhouetted against a darkening sky. Then Louis and Mark driving through the city at night.
So you know we're going to see Tom DeVocht?
Yes, sir.
And he is a another embittered and disgruntled defrocked apostate.
Another?
Well, in addition to you.
Why would you call me what the church calls me? Do I look embittered? I could care less, Louis. Embittered is the last adjective that would apply to me. I'm way beyond embittered. I don't care.
Hey.
Tom greets Mark with a hug.
Guys, this is Aaron, by the way.
How do you do? Louis.
Louis.
Aaron, nice to meet you.
Are you Tom's other half, could we say?
We're business partners.
Really? Yeah. What are you guys doing?
A lot of people have described David Miscavige as sort of an aloof figure, but what I've heard that you were quite tight with David Miscavige.
Yeah, I mean, we became pretty... It depends how you look at it. Dude, tight with David Miscavige isn't really possible, I don't think. But we did get along, and he did...
He liked you?
I think what really happens is he may or may not like you, but he uses you until you're fucking used up, and then he chops your head off and everybody's gone. It's a pattern. It happens to everybody. The guy, I mean, it scared you. You thought, what the hell? I'd play backgammon with him, and I'd make a point to lose. I mean, it was...
Why?
And I got good at it, by the way. If he felt at all that you were more popular or better in any way or anything, he'd flip. And he could flip like that. Then you spend a little time up there. The guy's got somebody, I'm sure you know this, recording him 24/7. Even when we were sitting there drinking scotch, tape recorder's down, everything's being recorded.
Even if he was just saying...
If we were playing backgammon, that damn thing was rolling.
Why?
You're shocked by all this?
You're on record as saying that you saw him beat people.
Yeah, unbelievable. In the real world, You'd go to jail if you did something like that.
But what I don't understand is, but you seem like a normal, reasonable person, and Marty's fairly normal and reasonable, and there are other people there, and why? How does someone get away with behaving in that way?
This is the only thing I can tell you. You got people who wrap bombs around themselves, fly planes into buildings. It's the same thing. You believe so much in that technology or so much in whatever, they can convince you of anything. When I got interviewed by the FBI, they said, would you help us if we went in to Gold up there, busted open the gates and went in, and would you show us where things are? I said, absolutely, but you're wasting your time.
I told them the same thing, they went to him
what are you talking about? And I said, you're gonna walk in, you might find terrible situations, and every one of them are gonna go, no, this is the way we want it. And at that point, you're done. They can't do anything.
So they thought they could do a raid and liberate some of the church members?
They thought they could do a raid and liberate and find, you know, the crazy shit going on. I mean, it's insane. It is the most destructive, quote-unquote, religion, cult I have ever read anything about or anything. It is a fucking nightmare. It really is. And I see people today that I meet with people who still believe in a little bit of it. I just want to shake them and go, you've got to fucking stop. It's a crock of shit.
The FBI investigation into conditions at Gold Base was dropped in 2010, with no action being taken. The Church of Scientology claims that allegations of abuse and violence by David Miscavige are entirely false and reject any assertion of a reign of terror. It describes Marty Rathbone, Tom DeVocht, Mark Headley, and others making such claims as embittered liars with axes to grind, who are expelled from the church for incompetence or misconduct.
We've come back to Hemet with Mark, and we'll be getting some shots of the base. But I've also decided to drop off a reply to the latest letter from the church's lawyers.
Parked near the main gate, Louis gets out of his car and runs across a road, carrying the letter.
David Miscavige lives and works most of the time at the Int base, so it's very easy for me to drop off the letter. It's just sort of saying, the letter that you sent us has been forwarded on to me, and that you're concerned that we may be following a kind of bigoted line of not giving Scientology the respect that it deserves.
Hello? Oh, can I just give you a letter? Hello?
Excuse me, you're...
Let me just give you... I've got a letter from Mr. Miscavige.
Wait, I've got... You're trespassing, and if you don't leave, I'm going to have you arrested right now.
Can I deliver a letter, please? No, there's a bloke there, but he seems interpolated. It's almost like just by receiving the letter, he seemed afraid that he was in trouble or that it represented a threat to him.
15 minutes later.
We've been told it's a public road.
We own everything. We own that. We own every house on this
the
property.
The road?
We own everything here. They have 100-foot right-of-way from there, from the middle of that road. This is our property.
You need to leave. I'm asking about the road.
Yes, it's our property.
We're standing on this road.
This is not a public road. This is not a county road. This is our road. We own everything on this place. We own the golf course. We own every house along here. You now need to leave.
I'm trying to drop off a letter.
Police will be coming.
A police car approaches.
We'll see if my partner gets more information.
Yeah.
I know the just by point now, too.
Yeah. We're not trying to get in there, on there. We're not trying to climb on the fence. We're trying to have a standout safe area.
Hey? London?
From London, England.
How's the weather?
This is beautiful. Is it a little too hot, or am I just imagining it? And this is our film permit. Do you know if it's a public road?
I believe they own the roadway up to 50% from the center of San Diego.
Look, if I'm 6 feet tall, let's say there's three of me from there, three of me there, then easily it gets to that curb, doesn't it? Do you know why this guy is filming us? You don't mind, that's not bothering you.
That what?
That he's filming us.
It doesn't bother me that you're filming us.
Oh, good. That's,
of course. You guys have a good one, right?
Hey, no, I appreciate it. Okay, thank you. What's your name?
You need need to leave too.
Yes, that's fine.
Both?
Yeah. What's your name?
Yeah, get in the car.
Are you in the Sea Org? Thanks, guys.
The woman and her companion who is videoing the encounter get back into their car.
Did you see that?
Absolutely.
We had a moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you recognize the woman who came and talked to you?
Catherine Frazier. Yeah. And she, Catherine Frazier, her husband is a gentleman by the name of Jeff Hawkins, who is another guy that left. And he wrote
a book,
Counterfeit Dreams. He's the guy
who wrote a book about how he was many times, or at least several times, beaten up by David Miscavige. He was one of Miscavige's alleged...
He was a punching bag.
Punching bag. And then he blew.
From an airliner descending over L.A. to Louis walking towards the large open door of a film studio. Technicians and crew members are inside.
We've brought Marty back. And we're doing drills. Marty's offered to take us through some of the Scientology TRs or training routines. So this is my chance and our actors' chance to experience the Scientology tech, its technology, firsthand. And Marty, when he was in Scientology, was the Inspector General in charge of tech. He used to maintain orthodoxy. He made sure all the Hubbard-written drills and processes were implemented exactly correctly. And so who better than him to take us through drills today?
Marty gets up from a chair. Minutes later, outside the studio, two unidentified visitors have appeared. On the other side of a street, a crouching woman and a man filming with a video camera.
Hi.
Are you filming?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you with him?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you filming? Can you say?
We're just filming a documentary for us.
For you?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about it?
No.
Can you tell me about the scene you're filming?
I'm a freelance cameraman. I'm just working with her.
With her? What's your name?
No, I'm gonna say.
Can you tell me a little bit about why you're here?
We're just filming a documentary of people. That's it.
Because you were filming us, so I just wondered if there was a reason.
Is that okay or not?
Well, I'd just like to know, since you were filming me, why you were filming me. Would you like to...
I'm not answering questions.
Well, can you explain?
I'm a freelance cameraman. I'm just hired by her to...
Right. But what did she tell you about what you were doing?
To just roll camera on this location.
Come on, help me out. Let's not play...
She's in charge of this.
I'm happy to tell you about what I'm doing,
right.
But I'd like you to tell me what you're doing.
Like I said, I can't help you on any of this. You're going to have to talk to her. She's the one who called me. So I honestly, I don't know.
We don't have to be silly about this. Why don't you just tell me what you're doing? I'm more than happy to tell you about what we're working on. Come back, don't run away.
Louis follows the woman.
Did you know that we're doing a documentary about Scientology?
I think you're harassing me.
Listen, you're filming me. How can I be harassing you? Come back. Stop running away. Do you see any of that unfold?
Yeah.
What's the big picture here? I mean, why are they doing this?
The big picture is, if you look into us, we will look into you 10 times as much, and it will make your life too miserable to continue with what you're doing. That's the point of it. That's the bigger picture. Been there, done it on both sides.
On both sides.
Marty's training routines. A number of actors walk onto the featureless studio set and take a seat opposite each other.
Are we going to get started?
Yeah, I think we're good to go, whenever you want to.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Marty. Okay, so he said you were willing to participate in the drills. For real, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. Student and coach sit facing each other with eyes closed. There is no conversation. It is a silent drill. There is no twitching, moving. Simply be there. What you can do is if you feel like you accomplished something on it, just raise your hand.
Because we're not doing it under the official auspices of Scientology, we're doing something that's called squirreling. And in Scientology, that is the crime of crimes.
Come on, Marty. You got anything to say? You can't even defend yourself on this, can you?
What's your name?
Why don't you answer his question?
Yeah, I'm with Squirrelbusters Productions.
Goofball outfit.
Squirreling is heresy, and squirreling is the reason why, for more than a year, Marty was hounded and harassed by the Squirrelbusters. They were busting him for attempting to set up a rival church to Scientology.
Marty, knock it off.
Anything that is not official Scientology authenticated tech is terrible, is deeply dangerous.
Woohoo!
And putting the entire fate of the planet, and not just this planet, all planets in the universe at risk because you're not doing it correctly.
How you doing, Mr. Squirrel?
And then the debate becomes, well, is that because they want to maintain a monopoly over the practices because their whole business model is to do with selling these services?
Snart, you are one ugly motherfucker, you know that? Flunk, very, very so slightly. Snart, you are one ugly motherfucker, you know that? Okay. Flunk, you twitched. This is the make-break point here now. You're going to teach somebody how to have some forbearance and tolerance and ability to take some shit, you know? This is the most highly criticized drill, but it's the most highly sworn by drill, too. It's called bull bait, okay?
You're not a very good journalist, are you? You're really bad at it. This is probably the best you're gonna do. Your wife really doesn't love you. At all. She's fucking some other guy right now. It's probably someone you know. It's probably your brother, if you have a brother, or a relative of yours.
Eventually, the woman who's seated opposite Louis and who's been goading him smiles.
God, he's really good. I don't even know what to say. What do I do?
Let me do something. Okay. Let me take over for a second. Okay. Let me see. Okay, John, I'm gonna do a little drilling with you, okay?
Louis,
start.
Marty sits smiling at Louis, and then he goes.
Fuck!
Jesus, do we have to do that?
I hate you! Face me comfortably, okay?
Fuck!
Flunk.
Can we not do that one?
We gotta flatten it
I
now.
I don't like loud noises.
Now that it's started, we have to flatten it. We gotta flatten this button, okay? Start.
Fuck!
I think if you've seen in the public eye, people who are prominent Scientologists, they have a sort of very forceful bearing, an intentional type of personality. That's essentially what these things drill in.
Now the actors are spectating.
Purpose, to make student clearly achieve tone 40 commands. Tone 40.
The highest tone.
The highest tone.
So they'd be the most effective command.
The most effective command. It's an effortless thing, ultimately. First, locate the space in which the object is located. You see that space?
Yes, I do.
Locate the object in that space.
Okay.
Command the object in the loudest possible voice he can muster. Now, we're going to get into the commands, which are stand up, thank you, sit down in that chair, right? Okay, put one hand on each side. Okay, good. So, command it as loudly as you can.
Stand up!
Okay.
could have it comply. Acknowledge it as loudly as you can.
Thank you!
Command it as loudly as you can.
Sit down in that chair!
Thank you. Now have it comply. Now.
Thank you!
Okay, good. All right, now do this. Think the thought, I am a wildflower.
Okay.
Good. Think the thought that you are sitting in a chair.
Okay.
All right, imagine the thought, that thought of you sitting in a chair. Imagine that thought being in that ashtray. Imagine it.
Okay.
Now get the ashtray thinking that it is an ashtray.
You know, I'm going along with this, but it isn't making a whole lot of sense.
Okay.
But is that okay?
Well, it's imagination.
Okay,
I'm telling
it.
You, put in the ashtray the intention to remain where it is.
Okay.
Okay, do you get any, do you get that at all?
Well, I'm imagining it having a little voice saying, I'm going to remain where I am.
Okay, all right. Get the idea of putting a thought into my mind about whether to continue this drill or to dump it. One way or the other. I want you to put that intention right back here, whether I should continue this drill or whether I should dump it. You want me to continue the drill?
Yes.
Okay, good. I got that. And we always end up by the portrait of Hubbard. Let's give a hand to him, and everybody stands up.
If we wanted to do that, would you be comfortable with us doing it?
You can do it, but I'm going to go.
If we all visualized a picture of
I mean, I advise you guys not to do it, but...
Guys,
if you want to join this guy's cult, that's okay with me.
Let's just get a sense of what it feels like, whether it feels... It might not even feel weird. I mean, Connor's up for it. I don't want to do it if it's going to annoy you, Marty.
No, go ahead and do it. I'm just not participating, that's all. Then the other thing that goes with it, Louis, is everything positive that happens to you, you get validated by attributing it to what you learned from Hubbard. And everything negative that happens to you, you're counseled that it's your lack of application of what you did learn. And then it really becomes mind control, by definition. And that's the game. That's why I don't even want to participate in it.
Seriously.
I figured the whole mousetrap out, and I just don't want to engage in it, that's all. I'm not participating in that shit.
Let's give a hand to LRH.
You see, I think the whole thing was a freaking failure. You want to know why? Because they went ahead and did what he suggested after went through all that work to try to get them to become self-determined and able to exercise intention. And they all went and followed this new cult leader, the Louis Theroux cult.
Is he all right?
Louis' black 4x4 traveling in busy traffic. Louis driving while Marty sitting in the passenger seat.
Do you find my questions inane in general?
In general, no. I'm just, you know, but the ones you're asking now, I mean, I find, I just don't understand why you're asking them like you're asking them. At this point, I've spent so many hours with you, and then you make everything sound so pedestrian, and I don't know what you're wanting me to. I've told the story, like, I don't know how many times. You want me to tell you again? I mean, we went through this last time I was here. I got into the whole freaking thing. I remember these are the same questions coming again. Like, you're going to get a different answer now? Or are you going to find an inconsistency? You know, what's the purpose of this?
Yesterday, it seemed like you, a couple of times, maybe I was getting on your nerves a little bit.
Is that a statement? I'm sorry you got that impression.
Louis glances at Marty. Then they both sit in silence for a long moment.
Ask me something that truly puzzles you, that you think I might have the answer to, that we haven't asked me 6 times already.
What did it feel like punching Mark Headley?
It hurt my fist. The guy is built like a tank.
Louis smiles. In the hazy distance, the tall buildings of Los Angeles.
We've had another letter. To be honest with you, we've had a couple more letters. And they're similar in tone, and what they basically say is, you are embarked on a project that is run through with religious bigotry. The church's version of events is that they do massive amounts of good works, social betterment programs, they alleviate illiteracy, drug addiction, criminal behavior, they do disaster relief, and that and what we're doing is ignoring all of that and focusing on a tiny handful of disgruntled ex-members. And that Marty Rathbun in particular is a deeply unstable and untrustworthy figure with a vendetta against the church. These are letters from Carter Ruck, the lawyers retained by the Church of Scientology, and they were sent to me.
Text from a letter reads, he has fallen foul of the law on several occasions and admitted to a number of violent and other actions, a history of instability.
These are from Mr. Rathbun's web blog describing the leader of the Scientology religion as Ayatollah Miscavige and the Church of Scientology as Radical Scientology, which is obviously abusive and offensive of both Mr. Miscavige and the church. Well, first of all, I think it's an understatement, if anything. Mr. Rathbun has an extensive record of misrepresenting his position. For instance, he worked as an external affairs position when in the church and never served in an ecclesiastical management role, contrary to his claim. But this is absurd. There's absurd things in these letters that you're taking for granted.
What was your issue with that one?
Because I was the inspector general.
Which is what? What did you
which
do?
Which is the highest ecclesiastical position contemplated ever by L. Ron Hubbard. I was the baddest ass dude in Scientology.
The highest level?
The hierarchy of the Church of Scientology was absolutely at the beck and call of me.
When you look back at the stuff you did, what is the stuff you most regret?
Well, you see, why are you jumping to that? You ask me these questions that act as if what happened in a one-minute period is who I was for 28 years? It's bullshit.
As I've spent time with Marty, it's become clear he is a double-edged figure. Both the chief whistleblower, but also, as the church's own documents make clear, in his time, the chief enforcer. One of the most notorious episodes was when he was Inspector General. Marty claims he arranged for a top Scientology defector to be tailed by two PIs because they thought he might have absconded with some religious writings of Hubbard's. And the tailing apparently continued for around 20 years. So you could argue that Marty went along with the regime until he fell out of favor. By Marty's account, in 2004, he'd been away on assignment, and he returned to the INT base to find that David Miscavige had created this punishment area for upper management called the SP Hole. And within weeks, Marty himself had been sent there, and it was only then that he blew.
You know, if those are Scientologists, they're not SPs, they're not outsiders, so why are they going into the hole?
Well, Miscavige says that they are SPs, who are working against him and trying to get him to fail. And they were sleeping in there. They would eat their meals in there. And you can imagine, if you have 30 or 40 people living in an office space 24 hours a day for weeks and months, you can imagine what it was like. It was just dirty and degraded. Yeah.
Portland, Oregon.
This is something I was awarded when I got Dianetics on the bestseller list.
Oh, see, this is interesting.
A leather-bound copy. Let me grab some other photos, if I can find them. That's some photos of my third wife, Catherine.
You know, I went down to the INT base, and I met Catherine Fraser.
My ex, yeah.
Your ex-wife.
I think she's, at heart, is a good person that's trapped in a not-so-good system. And but I know that she's a good person at heart.
I've also been spending a bit of time with Marty Rathbun. What was the impression of Marty at the base? How was he viewed?
He was tough and uncompromising and...
Liked?
Not really. Feared, maybe. That atmosphere brings out the worst in people. Either they submit or they become one of the predators, you know? And Marty, for a while, was one of the predators there.
And in a sense, he was, you know, the Mr. Fix-It for David Miscavige and did some of the dirty work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I don't think he's divulged all. I'll just say that.
You don't think so?
I don't think he's divulged everything.
What makes you say that?
Well, because I've read all of his books and his columns and stuff like that, and I just get the feeling he's tiptoeing around some subjects, yeah. Marty knows where all the bodies are buried.
Driving along a desert road.
This was the escape route. I was coming the other direction. The base is about 5 miles down that way.
This was your escape route?
Yeah, I was on my motorcycle. It was about, low 40s.
Were you pursued?
Raining. I don't know. I didn't see anybody, but I just went like a bat out of hell, and I went down this road here.
When you blew, this is the way you came?
Yeah.
When you fled the hole?
Yes, sir.
So the idea is just to reenact some of the events that you lived through, Mars.
Uh-huh.
Using, you know...
And you want to have the environment to be similar?
Yeah, we want to do it as close to the real place as we can.
Well, it was all inside. So you could literally recreate it anywhere.
I think we're good. What do you think?
Have a look. I can't see anything.
Have a look.
Oh, this is great.
On a dirt track.
So what did you think of the lines?
What lines?
These, the ones that I took.
They suck. They're unnatural.
You
gotta be
book.
Natural. It just comes out like a flood.
Do we think we're gonna put trailers out here, or do you think that we would do just as well doing it in a set in L.A.?
Better.
Better?
Better.
Why?
You don't have the logistical problems of bringing all these actors out here. This is a logistics nightmare out here, okay? You gotta create that claustrophobia, you know? You know, it's nondescript, cheap-ass sort of office setup.
Well, we'll figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
Hey, before we lose the light, Marty, I was gonna take Andrew just by the base, by the base. He expressed an interest in doing that. You don't wanna go by the base, do you?
No.
With the light fading, Louis drives the actor, Andrew, along the dirt track.
It was that red car that was there for a long time, and Marty was in.
We're gonna lose the light. We better get down there.
Back on the main road, they find a side road that's been blocked off by a wooden barrier with a sign on it.
What is this, sublet road?
The road closed.
Closed.
What?
Was this closed last time?
No. Can they do that? Lights?
Oh, shit.
What? That's us.
Oh.
It's twilight now, and Louis and Andrew walk towards a fence.
Is that... that's barbed wire?
I think that's some kind of barbed wire or spikes on top of
that. Spikes? Yeah. Whoa.
Ooh! That is actually quite helpful. And there are cameras there as well.
Okay.
One set of floodlights goes out.
What, is it trying to communicate something? Why is it flashing?
You guys are trespassing, you need to leave, or I'm gonna call the cops.
Hi, how are you doing?
You're trespassing, you need to leave, or I'm calling the cops.
It's okay, we have a permit.
For the third time, you're trespassing. Need to leave, or I'm calling the cops.
We have a permit, it's fine.
Leave.
We've got a permit, sir.
Are we allowed to leave?
Are we allowed to leave?
Yeah, while he's calling the cops, or is that somehow not
Yeah. Allowed. I think so. I think that's what they want. They want us to leave.
Okay. Well, it doesn't seem like we're doing much else here, right? I mean,
are you okay?
I'm fine.
You're not worried about it.
Well, the way that guy was barking at us, like.
But he was using tone 40.
Yeah.
think
I'm
it was
serious.
Like 20.
You think 20? 20?
Yeah.
You can't see where I'm calling. What is my? Yeah. Yeah.
Hello.
Did you want to see the permit?
One is from England. I know he's a BBC reporter. I have no idea his name.
Louis.
Louis?
Louis.
Okay, the road's closed, you're trespassing, and you need to leave.
Apparently, it's a public road.
No, it isn't.
And
the
we have
road
a...
Is, no, you don't.
But can I just show you the permit?
No, it isn't. It isn't a public road.
Look,
it's
Catherine,
trespassing.
Catherine,
look, whoa, you're
whoa,
not
whoa,
that
whoa,
stupid.
Whoa, you're assaulting
me. You see that
me.
Thing? It says road closed.
Look.
No, look.
Look.
Come
no.
here. Come here.
Let me show you.
No, come on. What's your name? Louis?
Louis. Louis.
Louis. Look, are you so stupid you cannot see the sign that says road closed?
But look,
is there anything about that that you don't understand? Closed?
Look, well, look, I've got a permit.
Do you know what a road means? It's closed.
We don't want to create any issue for you.
And I
you.
Don't want him filming me, so tell him to stop.
Well, you're filming us.
Tell him to
well,
stop.
What, you tell him to stop.
Tell him to stop.
You tell him to stop, and I'll tell him to stop. How about that?
Stop.
Tell him to stop.
Louis, you need to leave.
Catherine, we don't need to leave.
Yes, you do.
Catherine, we
you're
don't.
You're trespassing.
We're not,
well, you're
Catherine.
Not trespassing now. You can stay
right.
here all night.
Thank you, Catherine. Catherine, what are you angry about? You know, my deep desire is actually to speak to someone from the
right.
Sea Org.
Oh,
so,
right.
So you're actually
right.
you're
oh,
actually
Louis.
Doing
oh,
me a quite
yeah.
a big favor
you're
by
like,
being
oh,
here.
Oh, yeah, you're so honest. Is oh, that, yeah. Yeah. You take
so,
the stars.
So this is good. Like, let's just keep the conversation going.
No, we're done. Bye, Louis.
What? You don't have to go. You're not trespassing.
Wait till the police come.
We'd like you to stay. Catherine? Can we talk to you? Are you in the Sea Org as well?
With Catherine back in her car, the man who's filming Louis doesn't respond. Louis starts to film him on his phone camera, and the man backs away slightly.
Are you making a documentary as well? And if so, who is your one for?
Louis steps towards the man, who continues to back away. Andrew's looking on, lit by the flashing hazard lights of the car.
Catherine, I think we're gonna go, okay? Just so you know. All right?
The road closed sign. Then Catherine's companion, who's continuing to film with a video camera. A new day in Los Angeles, and an airliner rolls along a runway. The next day, moments after dropping Marty at the airport.
You know, you can actually get your address to Marty. That would be the thing.
Stop committing suppressive acts. Full time, suppressive acts. Full time.
You guys are missing all the action inside the terminal. I've got Mark Yeager, Jenny DeBlock, and Dave Bloomberg, another hit guy, sort of getting in my face here. I've got it on videotape. You guys might be interested in it.
Nobody
right.
has even noticed you're gone, man.
Nobody.
You're nothing.
Absolutely.
That's
gross.
The point. And you're nothing.
No crumb cycle. Is that what you learned?
Anyway, there you go. You just missed the fireworks.
So a call's just come in from Marty saying that once he'd got through security, there were three prominent Scientologists on the other side.
Your TRs are brilliant. Why don't you just stop committing suppressive acts and live a real life? What's he doing in LA anyway? What are you doing in LA? Why are you here?
So they've started again, squirrel busting.
No one gives a crap. Okay?
Can you move on, please?
I have moved on, and the church has been better.
Can you guys move on, please?
On his return to Texas, Marty posts his footage online. He identifies the three Scientologists as members of senior management. It goes viral. Various responses on the internet. Wow, what a bunch of psychopaths. They sound like the voices inside a schizophrenic. Like, are those guys serious? I'm so confused as to what they're accomplishing by doing this. Nothing says you've had no effect like three people getting in your face about something.
They're behaving in a way that's so obviously
pathological. You would think that they would realize that other people would see that and think this is a religion of lunatics.
They are doing it for one audience, which is David Miscavige. They are trying to prove that they are loyal to him because he holds all the strings. He has the ultimate power in Scientology. He could banish them from Scientology with a word. He holds your eternity in his hand. So it's not just the threat of death, it's the threat of really dying over and over and over again in ignorance and darkness. And that's what they think is in store for them. He has ultimate spiritual power over Scientologists. He says who goes up the bridge and who doesn't go up the bridge. You know, and he can bar you from Scientology forever if you cross him. And he knows that. You know, he knows the power that he's got, same power Hubbard had. Yeah.
The three Scientologist executives say they chanced upon Mr. Rathbun, who immediately started to attack them about their religious beliefs. They say he only began filming after hurling insults at them. They deny they were seeking to squirrel bust Mr. Rathbun. To Jeff Hawkins.
You worked with David Miscavige quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't like you much, did he?
No. He physically beat me up on about five separate occasions. There was one case where I was in a meeting with him. I was presenting an infomercial script that I had worked on. He hated it. And he's getting himself worked up and worked up and worked up. And finally, he jumps up on the conference room table. He's a little guy, but he's like, you know, muscular. Jumps up on the conference room table, launches himself at me, knocks me back against a partition. It's beating my face, and then he knocks me on the floor. And then he stalks out of the room. And there was like literally 30 or 40 top executives in that room. And they're saying, get up, you don't want to make him wrong. You know, like if I laid there all scratched up and torn, that would be making him wrong and that would be terrible.
The Church of Scientology denies that David Miscavige has ever been violent and provides numerous accounts that categorically refute Jeff Hawkins' allegations. They include a statement from his former wife, Catherine Fraser, who says she has never seen any evidence of violence against her husband.
This is the reenactment of which we've been talking about doing, and Marty's here, and we've got our set, as discussed with him. We've got actors, we've got a script written by Marty, based on what allegedly happened at the Gold Base around the time of the hole. So we're going to improvise based on that.
And we have as well, in the background, although I haven't told Marty this yet, but we have Tom Cruise.
An actor.
I'm not suggesting that he was at the Int Base at this time, or that he knew what was going on. But as Scientology's poster boy, whatever happened in Scientology, for good or ill, carries his name on it.
Inside a Stark conference room set, Marty's with about a dozen actors, both men and women, gathered around a table.
Welcome to the hall. This is a recreation of the Watchdog Committee conference room, which was at the International Base out in Riverside, California. There was a guard at the door. Meals were brought in. Sleeping bags were put on the floor. People had to sleep there. Miscavige then, reading in all of these evil intentions that these people must have against him, and it must be some kind of, and this is kind of Scientology thinking, that there's some suppressive person that's poisoning everything unbeknownst to everybody else. And so there was more and more people getting into it. When I was there, it was like 60 people, and it apparently went up to 80 or 100 at different times after I left.
Were they kept against their will, would you say?
All of the doors and windows were barred, and there was a security guard at the door. So I would call that against their will.
But if they'd wanted to badly enough, it's hard not to feel they could have made a run for it.
Well, yes. And this is one of the things that people don't understand about that environment. I mean, take my case. I finally decided to turn my back on the whole subject and leave. I had to walk away from a 35-year commitment, my wife, who I love very much, all of the friends I had in the world were at that Int Base.
A person has to be so desperate to just turn their back on everything and say, I don't care about all that. I have to leave this place because it's just too oppressive, and walk out into a world that is just totally foreign and where they don't know anybody, they don't know the rules, they don't know how to get a job, they don't know how to get a bank account. You know, it's a foreign world that they have to go out and somehow cope with alone. And people say, why don't they just walk out? Well, that's why, because in essence, it's a kind of a suicide. You have to say, my life is over, and I'm walking out of my life and into a totally different life. You know, it's that level of desperation that you have to get to. And people that are still in there, they haven't gotten to that level of desperation. The people in the hole, they haven't gotten to that level of desperation yet.
No. To the actors.
And this incident we're doing is when he finally decides the last person that he trusts, he doesn't trust anymore, and I'm getting sentenced to the hole. And then 3 days later, I was gone. Because I thought leaving was the only thing I could do to sort of wake him up. Because if I leave, I hold the keys to the kingdom, that should sober him up. So why didn't you go
there today? The hole. Andrew, playing Miscavige, enters the set and throws an empty water bottle against a wall.
What the fuck is that doing? Get the fuck up! Fucking DB! Walk! Walk! Fucking crawl! Get down! Lick the fucking floor! Lick the floor!
It may be that every religion carries within it the DNA for its own distinct crimes.
Fucking mental midgets, that's right!
The hole and the allegations of abuse are, in my view, an extreme but logical extension of the principles of Scientology.
Where do you sleep? Answer my fucking question!
On the ground, sir?
Where on the ground? Then I am so frantic trying to light a fire under your lazy asses, since you routinely let everything go to hell the second I don't have a gun to your head.
The Sea Org is imbued with a Spartan warrior ethic, and bull baiting, squirrel busting, and shattering suppression are part of their dogma.
This motherfucker! While I'm busy trying to put things back in order, because you fucking degraded beings don't get shit done, look at this fucking org board! Fucking org board! You fucking SP! The way you fucking handle an SP? Huh? You handle him roughly! You handle him roughly! You fucking handle him roughly! Okay? Okay!
Yes, sir!
Yes!
Yes,
sir. Yes!
The church denies the existence of the hole and any abuse by David Miscavige. It provides numerous statements from people who say these things just never happened.
Sit down, sit down, sit down.
But there are also many ex-church members who say that they did happen. And I've come to believe a version of this did take place. And watching it unfold, I kept thinking about Marty and his years of service and his complicity.
Okay. Anyone listens to this fucking cocksucker, you're automatically and immediately SP declared. Have a pleasant evening.
One of the actors follows Andrew out of the room, leaving the rest of the cast, which includes Louis, who's been made to go down on all fours, looking subdued and rattled. One actor is helped to his feet by another, but Marty signals for them to separate.
That was a command performance. We're done. That was just a command performance.
Is everyone all right?
But he was on a roll.
I just sat back and watched because it was as if he was channeling that guy. That's what it was. And you can see it becomes an overwhelm, and you're like, whoa. Now we're talking about
16. Outside the studio, 1 minute later, three men, one of them filming.
What's an SP like you doing in a place like this? Did you ever do that? We're actually You're not going to talk to us, am I? Oh, look, you've got another guy with a camera.
Hey, guys, what are you doing?
It's terrific. We actually came to talk to Marty.
Go on.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, Marty, what
do you want to identify yourself?
I'm not just the BBC.
Yeah, I just wanted to find out, like, foster care and what the BBC is paying you, is that enough for you to cover your nut?
Can you identify yourself,
did
please?
Did Moby have to go?
Marty, do you know
actually, I'm
guy?
Having a comm cycle here.
What's the foster
with
care?
With Marty. Yeah, foster care. Do you get paid enough for the foster care?
I think I know. My name, where's your friend from last time?
These guys hired me this time.
Can you tell me who they are?
Can you tell me what your name is?
Yes, I looked old. They hired me to work on their documentary.
Did you finish the other project?
Okay, here's the crew. Nicely done. I have no interest in being. Thanks, Marty.
Guys, stick around, please.
It's the same guy. Which guy, the cameraman?
Can we just have your names?
This is really sick, man. This is really sick. They're saying that, are you getting paid enough for your foster care? Between this and your foster care, is that paying you enough? How much are they paying you? Between that and your foster care, are you able to survive? I don't know anything about foster care. Monique and I are providing for him. It's a straight adoption. None of these things just happen. David Miscavige had to direct this. He scripted it and directed it.
The church said that as part of defending itself, it is producing its own documentary on Mr. Theroux, but that it was ridiculous and untrue to say that David Miscavige is involved in such activities.
Big roll!
Oh,
that is a five. That is a five. Now I gotta see what I gotta do with it, but...
You lucky motherfucker.
No.
He brought my wife's name into it, and he's brought my son into this. I didn't want to do it. But I'm going to have to pull the plug on this organization. You don't bring my child into this. Unless you want me to do something extremely severe in response.
Actors hanging out behind the scenes.
Did the actors know what was going on? We probably shouldn't tell them. They'll just get upset.
You know, welcome to my life, Louis. And I say, you've just illustrated it. Like, I'm working with these people, but I've got to withhold from them that these guys are in my face here because they might be upset. It's the same thing I have to go through with all of my contacts in life. I have to live this life where I can't really share what happens to me on a day-to-day basis. Because if I do, it freaks people out. You understand the burden? We can't make friends. It's very difficult to say, hey, you know, come on over for a barbecue, but realize you might be being surveilled and it might be going into the archive of the most pernicious, dangerous cult the Western world has known in the past 50 years. You understand what I'm saying? But I will tell you this. He will rue the day that he brought my son into this. He will rue the day.
Andrew, wearing headphones, preparing for another scene.
You know, we talked early on about, you know, you run private investigators. Some of these techniques were things you did to other people. I mean, you ran PIs who infiltrated.
I know, you're so wrong. I never, ever even crossed my mind to think about bringing a person's child into something. I never, ever, ever crossed my mind to use a terroristic technique like that, ever. Nothing like this.
You had people pretending to be people's friends while secretly...
All right.
I mean, I'm not trying to give you... Isn't that a fact?
Huh?
Isn't that a fact?
You're a fucking asshole. That's a fact. Fuck you. You know, I'm sitting here having my child brought into this thing and you want to fucking sit here and make me defend myself? Fuck yourself. I have to be subjected to this shit and I got to take this shit from him.
All right, forget it, Marty. I'm not...
You know, fuck yourself. Truly.
I consider myself fucked. But I don't know what to say now. Like, do you want to change
this? You should apologize, for starters, and say that we're canceling that and we'll pick up before that whole thing started. But even then, I want a minute to cool down because this is really offensive. I'm really fucking offended by it. I'm telling you, I have no life. I can't even make friendships. I am unemployable. And you start giving me this shit?
Louis stands with his arms folded, Marty with his hands in his pockets, Andrew.
That definitely brings us to both the close of tonight's event and the start of a whole new era. Yet before we part, I want you to remember the two operative words with which we open this evening, necessity level. The moment you realize the scope of Scientology, the very instant you accepted its power, in one way or another, you were committed by necessity to help in every way you can. We mean it. And the only slim chance this planet has
rests on a few slim shoulders, overworked, underpaid, and fought. The Scientologist. Later on, if we make it, what will be your answer to this question? Did you help? And I say, let's all make it happen. Thank you very much to LRH.
That inspirational speech and the film of the 2004 gala is the dream of how the world would be with Scientology. Well-ordered and grandiose and reaching for some higher purpose. All the ball-baiting and the shattering suppression, they're justified because of this. And in spite of everything I now know, a little part of me still feels the pull of their vision. It may be tempting to look at the faces and see foolishness, but you could also choose to see good people who are members of a church that's been hijacked by its own Pope.
Thank you very much. See you next year. Good night.
David Miscavige salutes as he leaves the stage. The church denies all allegations of abuse and violence at Goldbase, as well as the existence of the hole. It claims it was in fact Marty Rathbun, Tom DeVogt, and other apostates who were violent and abusive, unbeknownst to David Miscavige. It denies using harassment or intimidation as a tactic, saying it is the victim of a smear campaign and that it is perfectly entitled to defend itself. Louis and Marty in the car.
Well, they think they're saving the world, right? They see you as the ultimate suppressive.
See, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. Ultimately, it's as if he literally, in his warped mind, is begging me to end all this for him. He knows I'm the truth, man. And that is the scariest thing in the world to him. I am done with it.
Numbers up, Marty. They're going to arrest you.
They keep pulling me back in.
Morning.
Howdy.
We're just doing some random inspections here today.
Yeah.
You need to take a look and back, make sure you don't have any skid missiles hidden back there.
There's some guys in there. It is on, yeah. That is on. We're filming.
Okay.
We're making a movie.
Marty Rathbun was not paid for his participation in this film. Tom Cruise's attorney said to his client's knowledge, all allegations are false. It was a public road.